White Rocket Entertainment.
Welcome to the White Rocket Formula One Show, our first and perhaps only Formula One show. I'm Van Allen Plexico, and I'm joined by my regular co-host on the AU Wishbone and semi-regular co-host on the White Rocket Pop Culture Show.
I'm John Ringer.
And John, I appreciate you coming on here with me tonight to talk about a third thing, something that doesn't comfortably fit into either of those two shows, so we're going to cram it like a square peg into a round hole, maybe into both. This is not the AU Wishbone. We're not going to be talking football. This is not White Rocket, as in talking about James Bond or Dune or Star Wars. This is the first and maybe only White Rocket Formula One show. If it goes over well, John enjoys it, and anybody listens to it at all, then maybe we'll do another one at the end of the season in about a month or two to talk about how things worked out. But this just seemed like a good time to do it because Formula One is on a break right now. They've got four big races left to go, and the trophy's still up for grabs. So we're branching out into other areas of interest tonight. We're going to talk about Formula One. If you're not interested in that, that's perfectly fine. You can go ahead and just ignore this podcast episode and wait for our next episode of the other two shows coming up, you know, pretty soon. I've only come to the sport of Formula One this year, but I'm really enjoying it, and I wanted to kind of talk about it a little bit, and I wanted to kind of see if I could get John halfway interested in it, and he's been courteous enough to come aboard. So before I talk about it, what do you know, John, if anything, what do you think of when you think about Formula One racing?
I have minimal knowledge of Formula One. I would say I know that it is open wheel race car racing, and that it is international. It's an international circuit with international drivers and teams, you know, with cars built by famous, you know, race car companies, Ferrari and Mercedes and those kind of teams. And I know that they have teams like NASCAR has teams, but and I know they have some kind of overall standings, whatever. But beyond that, not so much.
Well, I've been a fan of open wheel racing my whole life. When I was a little kid, my stepbrother and I used to watch the Indianapolis 500 on delay when ABC would show it in the evenings on Sunday night. And you always had to avoid spoilers all day because they'd run the race in the afternoon, but ABC would show it at night. And like one year, I remember they even showed the outcome. They showed the winner right before they aired it. I'm like, how stupid do you have to be to do that? You know, everybody just changed the channel. They lost all their ratings. But so I liked IndyCar. I remember the first time I saw Formula One when I was a kid, I thought, hey, it's like IndyCar, but it's really not, because there's several technical things that are different, but also, just about all, if I guess all the Formula One tracks are curvy, different elevations, different curves, street courses, through the countryside courses, whereas Indy has some that are ovals. You know, they have the big oval in Indianapolis, of course. So Indy is a little different. Also, just real quick, a couple of the differences I've noticed, like Indy cars refuel every time they go in the pits, as well as changing tires, whereas Formula One, they never refuel. The only thing they change in the pits, other than if there's a technical problem to replace the rear end or something, the only thing Formula One changes are the tires. So their pits are like 5 seconds, if that. You know, they're really fast. And they go the entire race on one tank of gas, which is kind of mind-blowing when you think about it. I can't think of any other racing I've ever seen. I'm sure there are, but I can't think of any other kind where they actually don't ever refuel. It's probably safer, though, not having the gas all spraying out there. But anyway, there are a few other differences. But, yeah, there's not an American driver currently, but there is an American team that started this year, Haas, which is big in NASCAR. They've got a Formula One team, but their drivers, they have a French driver and a Mexican driver, which is interesting. So What I really enjoy about it, though, it's funny. IndyCar is very blue-collar, right? I mean, IndyCar looks like it came from Indiana. It's like very Midwestern, you know. The tracks are not in the greatest shape. The drivers are very rough and tumble in a way. You know, it's funny because even NASCAR has kind of duded itself up and gotten a lot of money and gotten very slick. IndyCar looks just still like it did back in the 70s in a lot of ways. So I enjoy IndyCar in a different way. But Formula One is like, the difference is Formula One is champagne and caviar, international models, fashion models, and billionaires parading around. In other words, outside a Formula One course, you're likely to see limousines and yachts and Learjets. You know what I'm saying? It's like the upper crust entertainment for these people. And it's funny because every city they go to around the world, they do the tracks up and all the things around it precisely the same. Everything looks exactly the same except for the track itself. And a couple other things, like at Singapore, they run at night, which is awesome. So anyway, that's some of the things about it. I'll talk about a few of the things as we go along. But you're exactly right. There's pairs. The teams are in pairs. So every team has two cars, pretty much. And the currently dominant one the last couple of years, last 3 years, has been Mercedes. So the Germans are currently dominating the sport. The two Mercedes Silver Arrows, they call them, those cars are just a little bit better than any other car on the track. So the question then becomes, are those two drivers really the best two drivers, or are they about as good as any other driver and they just have the two best cars, see? So, you know, it becomes, does the most expensive teams, do they go out and hire the best drivers? It's kind of like, you know, in the NFL, if the Cowboys have the most money and go out and sign the best players, you know, is it that those players are really the best, or is it just because they got so much money they can bring in all the around them, you know, and make each other better? So
I'm going to ask a stupid question now. I'm guessing there's no salary cap either on car expenditures or on driver salaries.
Not on the driver, I don't think. It really comes down to who the driver wants to go with and who the companies want to put under contract, the constructors, they call it. But as far as the cars, though, I think there are sets of guidelines about them. They have to be very uniform, you know.
Sure, they have to meet the safety standards, and they have to be designed a certain way. But beyond that, the engineering and design is up to the individual companies, and they could spend whatever many millions of dollars they want to design the best car.
I think within certain parameters, that's right. And what ends up happening is that some companies really get it together. Like Mercedes has just had it click in the last 3 years, whereas Ferrari, who has historically been one of the best constructors, they've kind of been struggling. Let me talk about some of the teams just real quick. I'm gonna run through some of the teams. And we'll talk about that. The Mercedes two cars are clearly the best. I think Lewis Hamilton is probably the best driver in the world right now. Nico Rosberg, who's my favorite driver, he's currently leading with four races to go, but we're gonna talk a little bit in a minute about why that is and what people are saying about it. It's very interesting. But then after them, the team that's been kind of second all year is actually the Red Bull team. Those really cool-looking blue cars with the red and orange and yellow trim on them, they really look sharp. And the Red Bull cars seem to be better than any cars except the Mercedes. And their two drivers are really interesting because the Red Bull team has – they have Daniel Ricciardo, who is like 2 years ago was the exploding Nova on the scene, like, oh, he's going to be the next big thing, but he never quite has because Mercedes is so dominant, right? And then it'd be kind of like being the number one draft choice quarterback on the team that just keeps losing in the second round of the playoffs, you know?
Sure.
He's clearly the next big thing, but his team just can't quite get him to the Super Bowl, you know? And then the third team is probably Ferrari. They kind of finish fifth and sixth all the time. Oh, I didn't mention the other Red Bull driver is Max Verstappen, and he's amazing. He's just a few months older than my daughter, okay? He's a little bit older than Maddie. He's like, he just turned 19. He was 18 when he won his first race. They promoted him up from their developmental team, Toro Rosso, I'll get to in a minute. And he went out and won his first race for Red Bull. He won the first race he was in. Now, there were extenuating circumstances, but he's really up and coming, too. He may be the next big thing. So the third team are really Ferrari, and you can imagine, knowing Ferrari, right, they are not happy to be the third team right now, consistently finishing fifth and sixth, somewhere around in there, with a multiple recent world champion, Sebastian Vettel, as their main driver, and he hasn't actually been doing that great. It's been Kimi Raikkonen, the Finland driver, who's very entertaining, grouchy dude. He's been doing fairly well, too. So after them, there's the American team Haas. They've kind of gotten along. Toro Rosso basically is Spanish for Red Bull. So Red Bull actually has like four cars. They just have their other two crap cars as developmental cars, and that's called Toro Rosso. And their colors aren't quite as bright on their cars. The drivers aren't quite as good, and they finish like 15th, 16th, usually. So I always feel bad for Toro Rosso. It's like getting demoted to double A and then having to play in the National League, It's like everybody knows you're not as good, but you still have to go out there and lose every week, So, that's the drivers and the teams. Currently in the season, we've had 17 races beginning back in like March or so, thereabouts. And to kind of set the stage of where we are right now, coming out, Lewis Hamilton from Britain, he won the championship last year, but he won it early, and then the last two or three races, Nico Rosberg won, his teammate. And that carried right over into the beginning of this year, and Nico went out and won the first four, I believe that's right, the first four races this year, and was just on a tear. And it looked like he had no, he was easily going to win. But see, here's the thing. Nico was winning, and you get 25 points for winning. But Hamilton was finishing second, third, very close to him and not falling that far behind. Then came the incident in Spain, which I'll get to in just a minute. You'll enjoy this. This is pretty funny, what happened in Spain, which changed everything. After Spain, there were 7 races in a row, of which 6 of the 7, Lewis Hamilton won, and Nico won one. So Rosberg had an insurmountable 4-race lead that is utterly evaporated after Spain. So then Lewis Hamilton was in the lead, and Rosberg was just seething. He was so mad at how it was playing out. But then Rosberg turned around and won the next 3, finished, I believe, 3rd, and then won the most recent one in Tokyo. And Hamilton is now down 33 points with 4 races to go. So the two of them have just been back and forth, back and forth. Now, here's the funny thing about Spain. Nico had won 4 in a row. They go into Spain. Hamilton had been right on his tail, almost catching him. And there had, y'all forgive me out there that remember this better than me, but there were a couple of incidents in the races that Nico still went on and won where he basically like knocked Hamilton off the track or spun him out or something to win. And Hamilton was really mad, and if Hamilton finished second, they'd show him in the dressing room getting ready to go out on the podium, and they weren't even speaking. They had their backs to each other. They weren't even speaking to each other, right? They were really – and they're teammates, okay? So in Spain, they were 1-2. I forget which – you'll see. The pole position in Spain was Lewis Hamilton, okay? So Rosberg started second. And, in IndyCar, they have rolling starts, right? They have a pace car. You've seen that.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
They come around all going almost up to speed, and as soon as they get to the green flag, they floor it. Okay. Mm-hmm. In Formula One, they're all parked, but they're parked in back and forth, back and forth, back and forth order, like zigzag, in the mm-hmm. order they qualified. So the light goes off at Spain, and Hamilton and Rosberg stand on the gas pedals, and they both go screaming into the first turn. Rosberg on the inside, like, he makes a move that was, in his mind, I think, was trying to defend his spot and not let Lewis around him. Because in Formula One, if a faster or car that's about the same as you passes you, it's over. You know, the only way you're ever going to catch them again is if they have a second longer pit stop. So it's very important to be leading on that first lap, or you're pretty much out of it to a certain degree. To a certain degree, okay. So Rosberg does not want Hamilton to go around him. And Rosberg does something that was, I forget exactly the move, but he does something that, like, to kind of, it's not so much trying to hit Hamilton, but he puts himself in a position that Hamilton's going to hit him if he doesn't do something. And they collide in the first turn, and they both go careening out into the gravel and are both out of the race in the first turn of the first lap. I mean, and they're both just sitting there, like, throwing their steering wheels across the ground and just can't believe it, right? I mean, and of course, the, you know, Toto Wolff, the guy, you got to love that the guy that runs the Mercedes team is named Toto Wolff. Is that not perfect?
That's like a pop singer or a Bond villain, one or the other.
It is. So Toto Wolff, he calls them both into his office, like the schoolmaster to the two, you know, kindergartners that have been fighting on the playground. And they are both, like, reprimanded and, you know, basically told, your feud is costing us millions of dollars, you know, and horrible publicity. Because you're teammates and you're out there crashing each other on the first turn. So they kind of got told off. And meanwhile, that's when Max Verstappen and Red Bull went on to win his first race. So good old Red Bull finally, they got one of their two wins this year. They're the only constructor besides Mercedes to actually win a race. They've won two. Mercedes has won 15, and nobody else has won any. So you can see, right? I mean, it does beg the question, if you put any one of those drivers in one of those Silver Arrows, would they be as dominant as Rosberg and Hamilton? You know, what do you think? I mean, what do you think, based on what you know about racing? Is that legit or what? I don't know.
Yes. I mean, I think they may be better, but the better car, I think, makes – I think the drivers are all at that level, you know, really, really excellent.
Yeah.
And they may be a hair better, but I think the better car makes a big difference. So.
Yeah. I just – you feel like if the Mercedes were just a tad slower, Red Bull would be dominating the same way because they're right behind them. And Ricardo – in fact, this was funny in the race – let me think which one it was that it was in Malaysia. Lewis Hamilton won, but Rosberg was catching up to him. I want to say that's the one where he ended up getting – I think at the beginning of that race, Rosberg got spun around. It's either that – yeah, something like that. I don't have all the information in front of me, but in one of those races, Rosberg got spun around the first lap, turned himself back around, and it was in 22nd out of 22. He then spent the entire rest of the race passing everybody and ended up finishing, I want to say, third.
Wow.
Which was pretty – that again, like we were saying, that shows how much difference the car makes, right? You could pass every other car but one or two. But one of the races, Rosberg was trying to catch Lewis Hamilton, and he was in – I want to say he's in second. And Daniel Ricciardo in that Red Bull comes up and is like 12 seconds behind him. And the last six laps of the race, they come around and he's 9 seconds behind him. They come around again and he's like 7 seconds behind him. He's like 4 seconds behind him. And they're on the radio like, Nico, you he's right behind you now. And so they actually allowed Nico to activate some extra power in his engine. And he held off Ricciardo off for second place, but they're trying to keep their cars from blowing up. That the last thing I'll say about this, there was the last race, I think, that Nico was it Singapore maybe or Japan? Again, it's been a week off, and they kind of started to blend together. But it was one of the last couple of races that one of the last couple of races, and Hamilton was just easily out in front, leaving everybody. And with about five laps to go, his engine blew up.
Mm.
And Rosberg was like in third. So with five laps to go, Hamilton was probably going to take the lead in points or be very close to it, depending on which race it was. I can't remember. And instead, he gets no points at all. And Rosberg, by finishing third, actually ended up extending his lead. So one little blowout on your engine, right, and it, everything goes upside down. That was really crazy and entertaining. So there's four. Yeah, Mercedes won the constructors' title last week in Tokyo. They've already got it wrapped up. It's done because winning 15 out of 17 races will do that. So there are four races left to go. They're going to be Saturday afternoon, I believe, because we usually watch them Sunday morning, but that's because of the delay from being in Europe. So I think it's either Saturday afternoon or Sunday afternoon. They're going to be racing in Austin, Texas at the Circuit of the Americas, the United States Grand Prix. That'll be pretty cool. And then they go down to Mexico, and then they go down to Brazil, and then the final race is in Abu Dhabi. And I think having the second race of the year in Bahrain, okay, then having the sixth race in Monaco, and having the 21st and final race in Abu Dhabi, that really just sort of sums up the sport, doesn't it? I mean, can you think of three places that are more just like money paves the streets than Bahrain, Monaco, and Abu Dhabi?
No, that, I think that does it.
that's like the trinity of cash. You know, it's like if you open the fire hydrant on the street, money comes out. And maybe oil, but money comes out. So, yeah, they wrap up in Abu Dhabi. And it's funny, too, several of the drivers actually live in Monaco, which is just says a lot, too, I think, you know. It's just amazing to me that these guys drive these cars and they live like absolute rock stars, you know, like just so much money and fame, and it's crazy. So that's what's coming up. Let's see. So several questions kind of that I wanted to touch on.
All right. Can Hamilton catch Nico?
All right. Nico's currently 33 points up with four races to go. I will admit it. I mean, I'm a Nico Rosberg fan. I will admit this. I think Hamilton is probably the best driver in the world. You give him the best car or a car that's equally good with Rosberg, and I think Hamilton wins more often than not. Honestly, the times that Hamilton has won this year have been because he outraced everybody. The times that Rosberg has won, honestly, a lot of them have been because something happened during the race that either held Hamilton back or knocked him out, including the time they knocked each other out. So, I hate to say that being a Rosberg fan, but it's just honest. I mean, when the two of them are on the track together and everything seems to be equal, it always feels like Hamilton's going to get him, you know.
Is Nico just lucky? Is he a jerk? Would he be a deserving champion?
This is a question that's been bouncing around now because I think part of it is what I was just touching on, that you know, Hamilton seems like a better driver. He's been dominant the last 3 or 4 years. And then you look at, I mean, look at Red Bull. Verstappen seems to be, in some ways, the second best driver right now. Because he's taking a slightly inferior car and he's won one race and come in second and third, you know, several times over those guys a lot of the time. So, and Ricciardo is not bad at all. So it just kind of begs the question, is how much of it is Nico and how much of it is that car? You know, I'll be the first to admit that, even though I really like him. The interesting thing about Rosberg, his father was a famous driver from Finland, so he's half Finnish and half German, but he races under the German flag. He speaks like six languages, none of them Finnish, interestingly enough. His father didn't want him to fool with wasting time on Finnish if he was going to be a race car driver. He needed to speak, you know, English and German and French and all that. So he's an interesting guy, but the other thing is he is kind of a petulant kid sometimes. When he wins, he loves it. He does his little fist punching at the camera and jumps up and down. But when he loses, he tends to kind of sulk and growl and stuff. And oh, I got to tell you guys and the listeners that didn't catch this. There was a hilarious thing. Let's see. It was the one that the race a couple of weeks ago where Daniel Ricciardo, who's really a fun-loving guy, he finished second, I think. I think Rosberg, that's the one that Rosberg ended up third, maybe. Sorry, I can't remember specifically. I don't have all the information from you. But anyway, the three of them are on the three of them were up on the podium. And in fact, it may not have even been Lewis Hamilton. But I know that Rosberg and Daniel Ricciardo were there. And Ricciardo has this thing where he drinks his champagne out of his shoe when he has a big result, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so he pours his champagne in his shoe and drank some of it. And then he went over to Rosberg, and Rosberg's like, in the spirit of things, you know, excited and everything. And Rosberg's like, sure. And he drinks some of it and kind of like makes a face and then throws the shoe over the balcony. So Ricciardo didn't have one shoe. And so they interviewed Rosberg after it was all over, and with a totally straight face, he said, "We have to make sure Ricciardo doesn't win any more races because I'm never drinking out of his shoe again." And then he said that again the other day. So just totally flat, you know, deadpan. So I mean, you know, you can say he's kind of I think he's just young, but I mean, if you win, it's 21 races. How much luck, you know, after 21 races, luck kind of thins out, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, I mean that's a big enough sample that I think skill comes out. So
yeah, so
all right. So what's wrong with Ferrari?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question for Ferrari, because they don't put up with you know, being second best, and right now they're third. They had all those great years with guys like Niki Lauda and Schumacher, and they don't like being third, and so they've got to get their engine doesn't have quite as much power as nobody has as much as Mercedes. They don't have as much as the Red Bull, so they're having to kind of result to doing some more, certainly Sebastian Vettel, to doing some more tricky stuff on the track, and he's ended up crashing several times. So I like Vettel. He's an interesting driver. He's won several world championships, but when your car is just not quite as good as four other cars on the track, you just can't win, you know. And Vettel's finished maybe no better than second or third all season. So Ferrari's just got to figure out what's going on with their power plant and get it going soon, because Formula One just doesn't, from what I remember over the years and everything and watching it so closely this year, it just doesn't seem right without Ferrari being right up there, you know, competing. So,
all right, so what about this Red Bull team?
Yeah, that's what I say. Honestly, they could have, I mean, on any given day, those two guys could be as good, if not the best two drivers on the track. And you wouldn't have said that at the beginning of the year, because Verstappen actually started out on Toro Rosso, and I can't pronounce his name, the Russian Daniil Kvyat. He was the Red Bull driver, and he kept crashing and running into people and doing stuff. And meanwhile, the other Toro Rosso driver didn't like Verstappen. And so after four races, I believe, after Russia, they switched them. They demoted the Russian and put Verstappen of the Netherlands into the Red Bull car. And he's been awesome. He's been so good. And so I think if Red Bull can just get their engines just a little bit more powerful, a little speedier, man, you could have 4 to 6 cars next year all competing. It would be really, really good. In other words, I think if you put the Red Bull drivers in Mercedes, they would be doing at least as well as Hamilton and Rosberg. I honestly think so.
All right.
Do we get any questions from our Twitter audience? No. We've got several people that were very interested, so I thought maybe a couple of them might have a question too.
Well, I think they asked some questions that day you brought it up, but now I got to go back and dig those out. Keep going. While
you
do that,
I'll look into it. Yeah. The other thing, for people that don't know, both IndyCar and Formula One, the big bugaboo as far as getting people to enjoy watching these races is having competitive races, right? Cars that pass back and forth. And so over the last couple of years, both IndyCar and Formula One have developed completely different methods for making it easier for cars to pass or overtake each other, as they like to say in Britain, okay? And they've done them completely different ways. And I want to kind of throw this out there, and then if our listeners have any thoughts about it, they can tweet us or email us. And if you want to use the email, you can just use the auwishbone@gmail.com address. That's auwishbone@gmail.com, or just tweet me or John on Twitter. But the two, I'll talk about Indy first. IndyCar uses what's called push to pass. And it's what push to pass does is you get like a certain number, a limit. Everybody gets the same number, a limited number of push to pass uses. And what it does is when you push that button, it actually allows your power plant a boost of power until you use the brakes. And so, no. I'm thinking about DRS. It gives you a boost of power for just a few seconds. That's it. So basically, you could come around the corner and be coming up on somebody you want to pass, but you're both going the same speed. You hit your push to pass, and you come zooming up alongside him. Now, if he hits his push to pass, he pulls back away again, see? But if he's out of them, then you pass him. And so it becomes a strategy of kind of like timeouts, you know, in football or basketball, or challenges to the instant replay. You kind of save them. Some drivers like blow them all in a hurry. Others like save them to the last few laps. So it's an interesting thing. And one of the neat things about IndyCars is that IndyCars actually have a little LED sign on the side of them now, normally showing what position they are in the race. So if you're like first, it has a red one on the side of it. But if you use your push to pass, your little sign changes to PP. So that everybody watching knows you're using one of your push to pass, see? So it's a strategic thing. It's pretty cool. I like it. What Formula One does is completely different. Formula One has a wing on the back of their spoiler, like a panel on the spoiler, that is perpetually down, which slows you down a little bit. And if you get within 1 second of a car in front of you on a straightaway that is marked as a DRS zone, the DRS will open and give you a little more speed than the other car. And as soon as you use the brakes, the flap closes again and slows you down again. So both represent the race people that run it trying to find a way to make it more interesting. They don't want the cars to just start out 1 through 20 or whatever and then never change, right? They want competition, lap to lap. That's what we want to watch, you know. And IndyCar has really, I mean, if you watch the last couple of Indy 500s and the other IndyCar races, they pass each other so much now, it's ridiculous. They had like 50 passes on the last Indy 500 or the one before. Like 50. Like every other lap they were passing each other, which is unheard of for the lead, you know. I mean, just like between first place and second place, like 50 times. So I don't know. I mean, do you have any thoughts about that? Do you think the whole thing is stupid and they should just race? Or do you think which one of those sounds?
I think that some of this is designed so that these cars can pass each other without wrecking.
Yeah.
I mean, the intent is to pass without the cars, you know, rubbing up against each other at open wheel cars that would cause a tremendous wreck.
Yeah.
And sometimes in that kind of course, the only way you could pass them is to get very close unless you had this kind of system.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, and it's so interesting. It's kind of like one is gives you extra power and the other removes something temporarily that's slowing you down.
Mm-hmm.
I can't decide which one I like better, really, but it is an interesting thing, and I guess they can look at each other and kind of take notes. I really do enjoy IndyCar a lot. This isn't an IndyCar show. Maybe we should drag you into an IndyCar show too, but
all right. We do have a couple questions here.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Brian Forster, who's at BigB7575 on Twitter, says is very excited about doing a Formula One show. And he says, awesome. Please discuss Mercedes and their domination over everybody.
Yeah.
Plus, does Hamilton catch Rosberg?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's what everybody's thinking about right now. And yeah, you know, I don't know enough about the technical aspects. It just seems like about 2 or 3 years ago, Mercedes figured something out that's given their cars just a little bit more speed. And they do, you know, like with Lewis Hamilton, they do explode occasionally. He had fire shooting out the back of his car coming down the stretch, I believe in Japan. I guess it was in Japan or Singapore. Gosh, I wish I had the detailed finishing statistics around me. But I've got to feel like Rosberg's going to hold on. I mean, I think I read somewhere where like Rosberg could finish second in all four of the remaining races, and Hamilton finished first, and Rosberg would still win. So I've got my fingers crossed. But Mira, and by the way, I got to say, I have a little 5-minute segment I recorded talking with Mira about this too, because she's a huge Lewis Hamilton Formula One fan. She and I really growl at each other and go at each other every race, because she's like, Lewis Hamilton, and I'm like, Nico Rosberg, and we kind of scowl at each other and everything. So I've got a little segment I recorded with her that I'm going to put on at the end before we're done. I'll post that at the end. So, but yeah, I mean, I think Rosberg is going to hold on, but I'd say, like I said before, I got nothing but respect for Hamilton. He seems like a genuinely good guy. He's barely more than a kid. And in fact, did you see in the news, did you happen to see what he got busted doing a couple of weeks ago at a press conference?
Mm-mm, no.
Okay. They had all the big Formula One drivers, this big press conference. They had the world press, right? These are people that think Formula One is like the most serious, newsworthy thing ever, right? And they're asking all these technical questions. And the drivers were all sitting in like a movie theater style seats, you know, stadium mm-hmm. seats. And on the front row, Lewis Hamilton was like front row center because he's the reigning world champion and everybody's darling, you know. And he's sitting there with his phone. Everybody else has kind of like got their arms crossed, looking really serious, all the other drivers in this boring press conference. Hamilton is giggling and doing something on his phone. And it turns out, and he was kind of showing it to the two drivers on either side of him who were kind of like, not now, not now, you know. It turns out he was using some kind of Snapchat thing to put bunny ears on the other drivers and posting them on Twitter and Snapchat. And everybody else is like, that's funny, right? But Formula One is like, this is a serious violation. You know, like, come on. He's probably 20-something years old. All he ever does is drive cars around. He's like the most gifted driver of his generation. Let him put some bunny ears on people. Who cares, you know? But this was like a big scandal that he was putting bunny ears on people on his cell phone while everybody was having this serious press conference. So
that sounds like the NFL.
Yeah, there you go, yeah.
All right, yep. So what are some things you want to see in Formula One next year?
Yeah. Do we have any other Twitter questions?
Now, we had some other comments where people were very excited about the idea of a show.
Great, great.
And then some kind of comments about the different drivers, but no other questions. So.
Okay. Things I want to see in Formula One next year. Honestly, the number one thing I want to see Ferrari more competitive. I mean, Ferrari is not the name you associate with slow, right? Ferrari is bright red. It's Italian glamour and sophistication. Ferraris are supposed to be challenging for the lead. So it's not that I'm a Vettel fan or Kimi Raikkonen fan. I don't dislike them. They're just not that exciting to me. But I want Ferrari to be up there at the front. In fact, if you could make Ferrari as fast as Mercedes and you could put Max Verstappen behind the wheel of a Ferrari, that would be awesome. He'd be like Niki Lauda come again kind of deal. So, yeah, that would be cool. Another thing that I really want to see is what happens to Verstappen, because Red Bull is not a bad place to be, and he's got probably the third or fourth fastest car right now. But, you know, nothing like I think that Lewis Hamilton and Rosberg have both already re-signed for the next year. So things will be pretty similar next year they are now. And then I guess the last thing, even though I am a Rosberg fan, I don't want Mercedes to win everything. Like I said, Mercedes has won 15 of the 17 races. It's just like, think of, what if the, you know, this is just in 1 year, part of a year, but it's kind of the equivalent of if like the same NFL team had won 15 of the first 17 Super Bowls. You kind of want something different, you know. I'd like a little more competitiveness instead of the same, we get like the same six cars. You know, same five or six cars that are ever relevant. So a little more competitive would be nice. So
a little variety.
Yeah. Do you have any thoughts or questions you want to run by me about it now that you've kind of discussed it a little bit?
Does the variety of tracks not make a difference to give a different teams different advantage in different places?
That's a great question. Yeah. You would think it would. You really would think it would. I guess, I mean, all I can imagine is that these drivers are so good that while there is a minimal amount of difference that way, like there are certain tracks that we know Lewis Hamilton is better on and some that he's not as good on, there's some that Rosberg is better on, that like they win every year, you know. even still, they're so good that it's minimal. It's minimized more than you'd think, and the tracks are fairly different. Like, I love the Tokyo track. We just had the Tokyo race, the Japanese Grand Prix at Sapporo, I think it's called. And, John, this is so awesome. This, in fact, I got to tell you, they did a NBC Sports Network is the channel that shows this in the U.S., and I couldn't live without NBC Sports Network now. They also show a lot of IndyCar. They did a video lead-in, you know, kind of like they do on ESPN Game Day or whatever. They do like a little funny lead-in to it for Japan. And they had Max Verstappen superimposed like green screen on a, on like a, you know, do you remember those racetracks when we were kids that you, the little cars would be like on a little metal thing and they go around.
Sure.
You had like a grip. So they had a track like that that was done all up to look like Tokyo. And Verstappen is superimposed like he's a human that size on the track as the little cars whiz by. And then they had one of the cars turn into like a transformer. And then they had like a gecko or something come out like Godzilla and fight the transformer. And then at the end, the gecko came up and like kissed the transformer on the cheek, and that was the end of it. It was surreal, but it was very Japanese, you know what I mean?
That's very Japanese.
It was very Japanese, but it was the coolest thing I've ever seen. But the Sapporo track, it's the one that has the overpass and the bridge and the tunnel. You know, like when we had the little racetracks when we were kids, you'd have the ability to make like a figure eight, mm-hmm. and have one part go over the other part. This is the track that's like that. So you actually go under and over each other while you're on that track. And that was just a little something different that no other track had. The other track I think is cool. I'm not big on the street tracks. Monaco is kind of boring because the street's so narrow. You know, they have shops and stuff. You can't have a wide track in Monaco. It's just downtown. But the Austrian track had a lot of elevation changes, and it was interesting to see them come out of the woods and then go down a hill and drop a certain distance and then come around and go up and down, you know. I think the elevation change is really cool, and I guess part of the reason that's so cool to me is growing up just seeing NASCAR and IndyCar, there's very little elevation change, at least not in most of them, the big tracks, right?
Zero, just about.
Yeah. So seeing that in the Austria track, the Red Bull track, they got like a giant modern art metal sculpture of a Red Bull charging in the middle of the track, the middle of the area, but it's out in like a forest in Austria. It's just gorgeous, you know. So that was really neat. It's a great question. You'd think that the different tracks would favor different drivers, but I think the cars are just so locked into how good they are relative to each other, and the drivers are so sort of, you know, the same in a lot of ways that you still don't get a lot of variation, which is really surprising. Any other thing come? That was a great question. Any other come to your mind?
No, I mean, so the when does the season end?
The Abu Dhabi Grand Prix, I believe, is in November. So they'll get like December, January, February, part of maybe March off, and probably by late March they'll start back up in Australia, which will be like the fall there, I guess, like September to them. And they work their way from Asia over to Europe and then eventually come over here, and they go back to Asia and then come over here. So they travel all over the world. I mean, I can't imagine how much it must cost to ship all those cars, all the technicians, you know, the pit crews. It must cost a fortune to do this sport, you know?
Sure.
So they must have a lot of money coming in somewhere. Oh, I was sad to see, by the way, that in IndyCar, Target is dropping out. Target's been one of the major sponsors. Scott Dixon is the famous red Target car. My wife, when she comes by, she loves Target. It's famous in our family that my wife is addicted to going to Target. So she has no interest in racing at all, except if she walks by and Scott Dixon's driving by and winning. She's like, yay, Target. And then she walks away. So Target's dropping out of sponsorship. We don't know who's going to sponsor Scott Dixon's car next year. That'll in the Ganassi team. That'll be very strange. Weird to see a no Target car. Well, the last thing I wanted to do before we wrap up, and I appreciate Surfer Chickify. Is that her? You know, the one of our Twitter friends? She's always so good. She has great questions for the, like, great stuff to say about the Wishbone and Auburn and everything else when we do our show there. But she saw me talking about this on Twitter, that I was going to do this show, and she said, have you seen the movie? There's a movie with Thor, you know, what's his name?
Chris Hemsworth.
Chris Hemsworth. And another guy, in fact, let me go ahead and...
It's Daniel Brühlin.
Yeah.
He's the other guy. I looked it up.
Yeah, and that movie, it came out in 2013, and I just totally missed it. It's a Ron Howard movie, very, very well done. And I was so intrigued, I just went and bought it on Apple, on iTunes, and watched it. I don't like to rent things on iTunes because I know that something will happen and I won't get to finish it and I have to pay twice, and by that point I might as well have bought it, so I just go ahead and buy it. So I bought it and I watched it over the space of 3 or 4 days, and it's so good. It's called Rush, and it's about the 1976 Formula One season where Chris Hemsworth is playing James Hunt. I wasn't even familiar with James Hunt. I knew the name. I recognize the names of a lot of famous Formula One drivers, Jody Scheckter and Jackie Stewart and Michael Schumacher and Niki Lauda and, you know, and Daniel Prost and all those guys. You know, I've known those names all my life, and I knew Niki Lauda, but I didn't know James Hunt. But Hemsworth plays Hunt, and he looks a lot like him. You know, big muscular guy, flowing blonde hair. The women all love him. And then the other driver is Niki Lauda from Austria, who's just this intense, geeky, nerdy car geek, right? So when James Hunt finishes a race, he wants to go out and party, go to the bar, pick up women, you know, have everybody idolize him. And when Niki Lauda finishes a race, he immediately goes into the garage and starts working on the car again, you know. So they couldn't be more different, right? And the movie is fascinating in that you see these two human personalities. I mean, they could be anything in this movie. Right, they could be detectives, you know, they could be astronauts, they could be anything, but you have these two completely opposite characters that start off utterly disdaining each other, right? I mean, Lauda thinks that Hunt just wastes his talent and is wasting his life, and Hunt thinks that Lauda doesn't know how to enjoy anything and is, you know, he's going to wake up one day and it's all going to be over, he never enjoyed it, you know, and they kind of teach each other that lesson over the course of the season. As Lauda is involved in a horrible accident that he kind of blames on Hunt, and that burns his face. And if you watch Formula One today and you see Niki Lauda, he's currently like a top-ranking guy for Mercedes, so he's helping make the Mercedes so good. So he's still a brilliant car guy today, but his face is very scarred on one side, and he wears a little hat all the time. And in the movie, you see what happens, and it's like in the pouring rain when the cars were much more death traps than they are today, you know. And it's just amazing to see them race in like a hurricane condition, but they do, they try. Mm. And so it's just absolutely a great movie, because they kind of have such an impact on each other, and I do think that. Daniel Brühl is fantastic as Lauda. I was saying, I wish this would become an HBO series because I could just follow the adventures of Niki Lauda as he goes around calling everybody an a-hole in an Austrian accent, you know. You're such an a-hole. I am fixing my car. Go away. In fact, I got to spoil one thing. The funniest scene in the movie is that he goes? This one driver takes Lauda to a party, trying to get him to get out and meet people, right? But Lauda's bored, so he immediately finds a woman out in the parking lot and says, "Could you give me a ride to the nearest town or something?" You know. So he's this little scrawny guy. So this elegant lady, she puts him in her car and she's driving him to the town, and they pull over to help these two. And he's like, "Oh, your car, you need a very service very bad." And she's like, "I just had it serviced, it's fine." "Oh, no, no, I know." Well, sure enough, it blows a fuse and the car's on the side of the road. They get picked up by two Italian guys. They're in Italy. They get picked up by these two Italian guys because she's out, like, trying to, you know, look sexy and get them to pull over. and they pull over, and she's like, ha, see, I got him to pull over, and they run right past her to Niki Lauda. Oh, Niki Lauda, Niki Lauda. And she doesn't know who that is. So they get in the Italian guy's car, and they want him to drive it. They're sitting in the back seat like, Niki Lauda's driving our car. Niki Lauda's driving our car. And the lady's like, what's the big deal? Who is he? I mean, why are you guys so excited he's driving your car? And they're like, this is Niki Lauda, the famous Formula One champion. And she's like, this little guy, you guys are crazy. He's just, look, he's driving like grandpa. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's this. You're crazy. And he's like, no, I have no reason to drive fast. No one is paying me. And they're like, drive, Niki, drive. And he's like, you want me to drive? Okay. And he leans back, slams it in gear, like, bah, bah, do the car noises, John. That's right, right. And she's just like mouth hanging open. Because she just has been totally, writing him off as this geeky little guy she's just doing a favor for. And these guys are just falling at his feet, worshiping him as he drives their car at 150 miles an hour through the countryside, and she's just like, oh my gosh. So it's really a fun movie. It's got a lot of stuff like that, so I can't recommend it highly enough. I go out and get you a copy of Rush with Chris Hemsworth and Daniel Brühl. It's a lot of fun. So
it is rated R, though.
It is rated R. Yeah, you know what, I was hoping Mira could watch it, and I said I gotta watch it by myself first. And yeah, no, but between the stuff that James Hemsworth does with women and the stuff that Niki Lauda says, and then his horrifying accident where his face is all burned. Yeah, Mira's not getting anywhere near this movie.
Nope.
So it's definitely an adult movie, but it's very, very good. So, all right. Well, that's a lot of Formula One for one night. John, you've been an exceptionally good sport, and I hope that you haven't just hated this.
I did, while you were discussing the movie, I looked up, and it's in 2014, the average cost to operate a Formula One team was $237 million.
Oh, my gosh. $237 million. I wonder how much money do you make back?
See, I think that, like, unless you're winning, you're not making a ton of money back. And, I mean, the sport as a whole makes a bunch of money, and I'm sure they make money from advertising and that kind of stuff. But
right, and it's huge in Europe and Asia, so they make a lot of money there.
Sure, I mean, I'm guessing that, like, the top teams, maybe now they're spending $250 million or something like that, and I'm guessing they're probably hoping to break even.
Wow, I wonder how. I mean, that's why there's no American teams until Haas. Think about Haas having to come in and spend that much money to try to have a competitive team. And they're not, but they're trying, That's amazing. Well, I can tell you where they get some of their money, because I was looking up, like, T-shirts and hats and stuff. Like, Mira wants a Hamilton hat, and I was going to get, like, a Nico Rosberg T-shirt or something. The freaking Mercedes shirts, which are nothing but big advertisements for Mercedes and Petronas Petroleum, The shirts are like $49, and if you get like a pullover, it's like $150. It's insane. So it's probably like $5 for the shirt and $145 for Formula One, or Mercedes.
There you go.
So good gosh, that makes Under Armour's college football stuff seem affordable by comparison.
You said it was the sport of the rich people.
It is, man. Meanwhile, you go to like an IndyCar race and you probably buy a corn dog and a Coke, for $10 or something. And the T-shirts are like 15, probably. I don't know. But it's funny. I mean, NASCAR has become like the high-end sport now in racing in America. And IndyCar would have been that. NASCAR was the cheap cousin, and now they've kind of totally flipped. They've totally flipped. So IndyCar is coming to my area. There's going to be we're about 35 minutes south of Granite City, Illinois, which is kind of in northeastern metro at St. Louis, and they have a track there, and IndyCar is going to be there next fall. So we are very excited to get to go see the Helio Castroneves and all those guys. I really the Andretti's, so that'll be fun. I don't know when we're going to get to see a Formula One race, because the only one in the United States is in Texas, so that's a haul, but anyway. All right, well, I guess that's all we really have time to talk about tonight. maybe we'll do a little show to wrap things up in a couple of months when the season's over and see how it ended. Did you get persuaded to check out Formula One, or are you still skeptical, or what do you think about it now?
I mean, this was an entertaining discussion, and I'm interested. I have a hard time finding time to do the do the other things I'm interested in, you know, watch the TV shows and read the books and watch the other sporting events I want to watch. So
yeah,
it's tough for me to imagine squeezing in time to watch. How long is the average race, like start to finish TV time?
Oh, less than 2 hours. And I like that.
Less than two hours is good.
They only go
baseball games and you know these college football games are going 4 hours and stuff. So,
well, they only run like I said, they only run on one tank of gas, so they're pretty limited there. They only go about 50 laps usually, 50 or 60 laps. They don't go that far. But the thing about it too is they're usually in the middle of the night here, and so I record them on the DVR, and then whenever we get up on Sunday morning, Mira and I just sit down and watch them real fast before we do our Sunday activities. So now I'll say this though, they don't make it easy because you can go right now on YouTube and watch just about any IndyCar race run in the last 20 years. It's all on YouTube. Perfectly great. Like I've watched every IndyCar, I've watched every Indianapolis 500 from like the last 10 years on YouTube the last few months. And meanwhile, if you want to watch Formula One on YouTube, good luck, because they absolutely, you know what I'm saying?
They restrict the video, you write.
Exactly.
Same as NFL and some of the other sports. So.
Exactly. There's probably some website you can go and pay $150 to watch, you know, two races or something, probably. I don't know, but I'm just guessing. So, all right, gang. Well, send in if you have any thoughts or comments about the show, how it went, and maybe anything for if we ever do it again, then send them in again at auwishbone@gmail.com or tweet John or me. Probably want to tweet me for this. John may delete them all and say, no, we never heard anything. So I guess we shouldn't do another show. But you can tweet me at Van Allen Plexico. And I guess that will do it for tonight. I had some cool outro music. Oh, but first, I gotta introduce this and we'll be out. Coming up next is my little brief conversation with my daughter, Mira. Mira's 8 years old, but she's a big Formula One fan, and I just had a brief conversation with her about it. So here comes Mira, and otherwise, John, thanks for being on, and we'll see you guys down the literally down the road.
It was fun, Ben. Let's do it again sometime.
All right, here's Mira. Okay, welcome to Formula One Kids Corner.
Hi.
Here is Mira Plexico, one of the younger Formula One fans. Say hello, Mira.
Hi, my name is Mira. Don't call me Myra.
No, nope. And how old are you?
8.
Okay, and you and I both started watching Formula One pretty much in the last year, didn't we?
Yeah, about this year.
Like, yeah, this season.
Like in like June, maybe?
No, I think it was earlier than that, because we started when the new season started, and we've gone all the way through the year with it. And it's almost done now. There's only about 3 or 4 races left as we record this.
Yeah.
So let's tell everybody, first, who's your favorite driver?
Lewis Hamilton. I forgot his name.
Yeah, Lewis Hamilton, right. And so what do you think of Nico Rosberg?
Not really.
Not so much?
He is, but I'm not.
Yeah, I'm a Nico Rosberg fan. I kind of adopted him as my driver for this year. I'll reassess next year, but I've been enjoying watching. It really has been a fun competition, hasn't it, between Lewis and Nico?
Yeah.
They've been going at it.
And I think they're going to keep on like fighting and stuff next year, too.
Probably so.
What do you think?
Well, and they both drive for Mercedes, which is
cool. Yeah.
So they both have the fastest cars.
Yeah. Like, lately, Nico Rosberg has been getting a little bit better than Lewis Hamilton, but it started out really good for him, and then it's kind of shifted downhill.
It's true. Yeah, John and I will have talked about that very thing. So what's your favorite thing about Formula One that we've been watching this year? You like the cars, or the way they do a big like firework stuff at the end and the celebration? The drivers or
the
what?
The fireworks.
Go ahead.
The fireworks was Singapore.
Yeah, I believe so. That's right. Because it was at night. That was neat.
Yeah.
So what's your favorite thing about Formula One racing?
from the Epic Crashes. And the champagne battles at the end.
That is cool.
And pretty much all of it.
It's a pretty fun, colorful sport, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's really neat.
Because, you can eat a whole bunch of junk food and still be able to do it.
Yeah,
like, it's not like soccer where you have to actually get up and stuff. And it's really cool because if you are actually a driver, you can, see a whole bunch of really cool places because they've gone to, Monaco and London. And
that's true. They go Silverstone in London, yeah, and they go to Malaysia and Tokyo and Singapore, and they're going to be in Texas next time.
Yeah, here in America.
Yeah, that's very exciting. Hopefully one day we can go to that race, you think?
Yeah.
Would you like to go to a Formula One race?
Yes.
Well, we're very lucky. Now, we watch IndyCar, too, but you're not as big a fan of IndyCar, right?
No, not really.
And what is it about IndyCar you don't like as much as Formula One?
They don't have Lewis Hamilton and the crazy fights and the champagne battles.
Yeah.
All they do is just, they just drive.
Well, we do have an Indy race coming up about this little earlier than this time next year in Granite City, which is right up the road from us, not far at all. So we'll at least get to go see some car racing next year, and maybe we'll get to go to Indianapolis, which would be fun.
Uncle Dale.
Oh.
Yeah.
The racetrack? So you got to see the racetrack.
Cool.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. Okay. Anything else about Formula One that you want to talk about or share before we wrap up this corner? Is there a company that you like better, like Red Bull or Ferrari or Mercedes or any of those that you like how they look, like the cars look cool or the uniforms they wear?
I like how they have how Red Bull, the Red Bull cars are really cool, and we just got back from Casey's just getting something, and we saw the drink from Red Bull, and then I told my daddy that I was like, are there cars powered by Red Bull? The drink.
They just about could be. Knowing Red Bull, it could probably set them on fire.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Mix them with gasoline.
No kidding. I think it is mixed with gasoline. Okay. Well, Mira, I appreciate you coming on the show and letting the folks know that even the young folks are enjoying it this year. So next year will be our second season of Formula One, and we can see if we want to stick with our drivers we root for now or change. Or
I am.
Okay.
I am.
You're a Lewis Hamilton fan for good, for life?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Hamilton for life!
All right, everybody. Thanks, Mira.
Bye.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.